chapter number 3. So good to have everybody in service with us this morning. Good to have our visitors with us here this morning. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord is strengthening you, helping you, and encouraging you already here in this service this morning. Colossians chapter number 3 is where I want to begin. Hallelujah. Glory. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but I want you to notice how this scripture starts out. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And that word there could even mean not on even the people of this earth. Got to understand what it's saying here. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, that means put it to naught, kill it. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I want to make a little middle note here for you. Everything that he just talked about, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, all of those things are idolatry. The reason being because we're exalting ourselves over submission to God. That's why it's called idolatry. We're worshiping the pleasures of flesh. And so all these are idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes. He's bringing them to remembrance of where they used to be when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Mortifying the members, putting off the old man with his deeds. Hallelujah. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That word, set your affection on. The Greek word there is phroneo, which I'm not a Greek scholar, so forgive me if I didn't pronounce it right. But I want you to understand what it's saying: to exercise the mind. An example of entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, by implication, to be mentally disposed more earnestly in a certain direction. It was above. Intensively to interest oneself with obedience. Wow. That's just one Greek word. Hallelujah. Getting the understand that set your affections, your mind, everything you desire, everything you long for, set it on those things which are above, with the intent of being obedient to what above brings to you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I want to preach this morning on post-resurrection life. Hallelujah. Post-resurrection life. In other words, life after the resurrection. And I want to give you some insight into some life pre-resurrection compared to life post-resurrection this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. And so the reality here, I mean, it just starts out, if ye then be risen with Christ, hallelujah, resurrection, there's something different in resurrection life. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Let me go backwards just a little bit. Pre-resurrection, pre-cross, to the life of the disciples before the finished work of Calvary and the power of the resurrection. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, we find that there is a lack of faith. There's a lack of faith. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, and he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. There was a lack of faith among the disciples, among the 12, among the ones that followed him everywhere he went. There was a continual, and this is just one scripture, but I'm giving you a little insight here. Before resurrection power came on the scene, they believed who he was. They followed him for 3.5 years. But they were always coming up short. They had a lack of faith. In John 6, verses 67 and 68, they had a lack of understanding. Wow. John 6, 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And this is the story where Jesus began to really bring it home to the fact that you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, not physically, but spiritually. You've got to take all of me and everything I stand for and everything I've done. You cannot be part of the kingdom of God. And many of the disciples left. Many of the followers, you know, that followed him, there was more than the 12 that followed him. Many of them left. And, I mean, you guys got a picture with me in your mind. The 12 were standing there or sitting there looking at one another and saying, Do you understand what he said? No, I don't. Do you? Do you see that everybody's leaving? Yeah, I see it. I'm not leaving either. And then Jesus asked him, You going to go away too? Oh, wow. You've been reading my mind, Lord. Oh, it's amazing how he always knew what the disciples were talking about. Make a middle mark of that, church. He always knows what you're talking about. Praise God. Hallelujah. They lacked understanding. They heard. They believed he was the Son of God. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But they lacked understanding. This is pre-resurrection. They lacked submission. A very important part of a Christian life is submission to the Lord. In Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. He's telling them the most important thing they needed to know. Here's Peter's response. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Ooh. A lack of submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. What's going on there? Peter said, Oh, Lord, I don't want that to happen to you. This is not what I want for you. Oh, my. So here we're pre-resurrection. We've got a lack of faith. We've got a lack of understanding. We've got a lack of submission. Mark 14, 72, the second time the cock crew. Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He was even pre-warned, but he still had a lack of allegiance to Jesus. He was lacking. You notice several of these are about Peter. And Peter was one of the main ones. But pre-resurrection, he's lacking. Mark 8, 28 and 29, and they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and say unto him, Thou art the Christ. Peter finally said something right. pre-resurrection, these men knew who Jesus was. Peter made the great profession, and Jesus even told him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Thou art the Christ." But because of their lack of understanding, because of their lack of faith, because of their lack of submission, because of their lack of allegiance, they didn't understand all of this, any of this, but they knew this. They had we'll put it like this, head knowledge of Jesus Christ. A good head knowledge of Jesus Christ. They had walked with him now up at this point for 3 years, 3.5 years. I mean, if anybody knew who Jesus was, these men knew who Jesus was. But every one of them kept coming up lacking, lacking. Every time a test came, they failed. They failed. They failed. Jesus didn't turn them out, turn them away. I mean, sometimes he brought it to their knowledge. Oh, ye of little faith. I mean, he Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, the sea was calm, and they were to the shore. And all the disciples, what manner of man is this? Oh, hallelujah. I mean, he was right there, but yet something was lacking. Something was lacking. Pre-resurrection life is a life with a knowledge of who Jesus is, but not the power thereof. Mm-hmm. Catch that. Remember that. Let it sink in. I can know who Jesus is. I can believe God is real. But that doesn't mean I have received resurrection life. Let me move on. Post-resurrection life of these same men. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Post-resurrection life. Hallelujah. In other words, they had all seen him alive. They'd seen him alive. Oh, my. And they believed who he was. And they understood who he was. And they still didn't understand the fullness of what he had done. Oh, but something's going to happen here. Oh, something's going to change their lives forever. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We're going to start in John chapter number 20 and verse number 21. And I made a little reference to this last week. But John 20 and 21, then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, I brought it to your attention. This is not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. This is not the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But this is none other than what Jesus said in John chapter number 3 and verse number 3 to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Jesus, once again, is signifying new life, creating new life. New life. And I took you all the way back to Genesis when God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then what happened? He breathed into that body he had formed, and man became a living soul. But then man fell into sin. But now Jesus Christ has died on Calvary. He has shed his blood for the remission of sin. He has given his life for the salvation of the world. And God, oh my, God glorifies it, magnifies it. On the third day when he brings him alive from the dead and he resurrects and comes out of that tomb, he cinches it up, grabs a hold of it, glorifies his name. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Hallelujah. But you must be born again. Whoa, hallelujah. In other words, when God breathed into that dust on the earth, it became a living soul. When Jesus breathes life, hallelujah, into an individual that has humbled their heart and asked for the blood to cleanse their sin, he breathes life again. Oh, hallelujah, a new creature has just been created. He's the God of creation, you know that, right? He created us in the beginning. Oh, but sin messed everything up. Oh, but that second Adam has come, that everything can be rectified, renewed, and revived. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said you must be born again, because there has to be a brand new creation inside of us. The old one's not going to get the job done. The old one's full of sin. Oh, we just read about it. You know, fornication, adultery, all those evil things. The old man's full of sin. Oh, but when that newness of life comes in, hallelujah, born again by the Spirit of God, a new man's created, a new mind frame is there, and a desire for the kingdom of God has just been birthed. And you can take it from there and grow in His grace and in His knowledge and become all that God has created you to be. Oh, hallelujah. Really, the bottom line, most of us have no idea what we were created to be. I had no idea I was created to become a preacher. I had no idea I was created to pioneer a church. I had no idea I was created a pastor. Matter of fact, every one of those things, I always told God, I don't want to do that. 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 Oh, you got the wrong man. Oh, that's what He created me for. Oh, hallelujah. And I had to come face to face with that every time He began to reveal what He created me for. I had to say, yes, Lord, I will. Yes, Lord, I will. Oh, my. When I met Him the first time, I had to agree to that. I mean, He was doing everything under the sun to reveal His love to me, His kindness to me, His glory to me, His power to me. But I'm sitting here in my pompous pride thinking I've got enough Christianity. I'm just as good as anybody else. What do I need more for? I mean, I'll be honest. I thought I was a Christian. Everybody around me would have said, oh, yeah, you're a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. If I was a Christian, I was a pre-resurrection Christian. Not a post-resurrection Christian. I mean, I don't know. I just know when I met Jesus, my life changed. Like never before. Oh, why? Because something new had been created inside of me, and I saw the kingdom of heaven. I saw the kingdom of God. I saw who He was. I understood who He was. That's that born-again experience. You need to have all those things, hallelujah, so you can move on into resurrection life. Wow, that's just the beginning. Woo! Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Anybody that's been in a Pentecostal church, amen, as Brother Seth said Friday night, you've heard this scripture. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory. Post-resurrection life. Born again by the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Not an option. This is part of the plan. This is part of the gospel. This is what Christ died for. Hallelujah. Not that you and I could be pre-resurrection Christians, that you and I could be post-resurrection Christians. Hallelujah. Full of faith, full of power. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Because from this point forward, the church begins to march. Hallelujah, to the beat of the commander, Lord Jesus Christ. The army of the Lord has just been created. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. And they are now marching to the command of the Master. They are now under the lordship of Jesus Christ. They are now post-resurrection believers. Hallelujah. And they are walking in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And everything they do after this point is under the unction of the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand that. This is not their own thoughts, their own desires, their own wants, or what they thought ought to be done. Everything that happens after this point, the Spirit of God begins to direct their lives. And the gifts of the Holy Ghost begin to operate fully in their lives. I want you to understand, Peter just didn't come up with a good idea when he met that lame man at the Gate Beautiful. That wasn't Peter at all. Had nothing to do with Peter except Peter being a vessel of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want you to understand that because, I got to move on here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. And oh my, for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read all of those scriptures. But I want you to know it's the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, know be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And he begins to explain to all those that are there that day, seeing and hearing what the Holy Ghost is doing in the church. Hallelujah. And he begins to proclaim the truths of the kingdom of God and preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With full understanding. Hallelujah. He knows exactly what it means now. Glory to God. I want to back up just a minute. In pre-resurrection life of Peter, for 3.5 years, he was taught personally by Jesus. Taught personally by Jesus. All about the truths of the kingdom of God. Jesus, even right before his death, burial, and resurrection, told them. Peter said, no, I don't want this. But he told them exactly what was going to happen. So knowledge was there. But understanding didn't come till the Holy Ghost entered in. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost brought it all together. Brought understanding to what Jesus taught them. Brought understanding to what the Old Testament prophets had said. Hallelujah. This is why you got to read. This is why you got to study. The Holy Ghost can't show you anything if you don't know anything. Whoa, hallelujah. You've got to put it in. The Holy Ghost quickens it, brings it alive, brings the understanding. The understanding is going to bring you closer to God. It's not so you can be some spiritual guru. I am so tired of those that want to stand up and prophesy over you and they have nothing to say. It's just a fad. It's just emotion. It's just they're trying to do what the Bible says without the power thereof. Oh, God of heaven, help us. Hallelujah. And so we see they're full of understanding. Peter and the 11, they're full of understanding. Not only are they full of understanding, they're full of faith. Hallelujah. You move right on to Acts chapter number 3. I mean, this is when I was studying the book of Acts in my Berean Bible courses. They said, you know, the book of Acts should have read like the Acts of the Holy Ghost wrought by the disciples. It wasn't the Acts of the apostles. It wasn't the Acts of the disciples. It was a Holy Ghost moving on the face of this earth and using the apostles as the vessels. The messengers. And now they're full of faith. Once again, this is not something Peter come up with. Peter's walked by this man multitudes of times. They were always going to the temple to pray. But today, the Holy Ghost says, stop. Right here. This man has what it takes to be healed. Woo! You got to believe that. Because this is something I've seen. I've been saved 40 years. And in my 40 years of salvation, I've seen so many people that are trying to fulfill the book of Acts in the flesh. They're trying to do it without the power thereof. They're trying to do it because they say, okay, the Bible says this is going to happen. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to lay hands on the sick. Well, that's fine. That's dandy. But unless the Holy Ghost is involved and speaking to your heart and to your soul, lay hands on them, there ain't probably anything going to happen. Because it's not at my unction. It's not because I would like to see somebody healed. It's because the Holy Ghost says, today I'm going to heal somebody. I'm going to use your hand to do it. Woo, hallelujah. Pray. This is post-resurrection life for the church. Hallelujah. This is the church we're reading about. So Acts chapter 3, verse number 4, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, hallelujah, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them, mainly money. Isn't it funny how all people always want money from the church? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And isn't it funny that that's the statement of the church? But such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. See, that's why it's all right to walk. It's all right to leap, and it's all right to praise God, because that's what happens when God touches somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This man had been lame from his mother's womb, and oh, praise God, this was a blessing to this man, but this was not the full intent of this miracle. Hallelujah. You got to realize, for everything God does, there is a ripple effect that he's going to do even more. Ooh, we got to get our eyes on him. The giver, and get our eyes off the gifts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because next, I just want to let you know that this was the operation of the gift of faith. Or it might have been the working of miracles. Or it could have been the gifts of healings. I'm not for sure which part falls under which part, but there's one thing I do know. This was a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, not a manifestation of Peter's goodwill. Let that sink in, because if we're not careful, we get to trying to do the book of Acts without the leading of the Holy Ghost. There has got to be that divine unction from above. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 4, we're moving right along. Because of this healing of this lame man, Peter and John got in trouble with the religious leaders that day. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. Hallelujah. Preaching's coming on to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Hey, I think we got some allegiance going on here. Hallelujah. A standing for Christ. This is the same man that denied him in pre-resurrection. But now in post-resurrection, he's standing in the face of the ones that killed Jesus, knowing very well they could kill him next. But did he care? Not one bit. Why? Because now he had understanding of the full story. Now he understood if he died, he was going right to be with Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah to the Lamb. So don't threaten me with heaven. It'll just make me want to go more. Glory. And that see, the allegiance is there. We're post-resurrection, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Filled with understanding, filled with faith, full of allegiance. Hallelujah. Are you seeing the difference yet? Of the power of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, brings to an individual as they begin to move into that place of salvation. You see, it's got to start, but it has no end. Oh, glory. Acts chapter 4, verse number 18, a little further down. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Oh, there was a full submission displayed in that statement. We are following God. Threaten us, take our lives. It makes no difference. We are following God. Hallelujah. This is the power whereby we must walk in these last days. Hallelujah. Post-resurrection life. Hallelujah. Do you see the vast difference between pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. It is as different as night and day. Hallelujah. Many Christians, sad to say, are living in pre-resurrection life. I guess I can say I was one of them, because I was raised in church all my life. But I had never experienced the power of regeneration. I was taught everything about God's plan of salvation. I was taught about how he died on Calvary, how he rose the third day. I was taught that there was a day of Pentecost, but never expounded upon it, just kind of went right over the top of it. I was never told about the rapture, or the coming of the Lord, or the judgment of God. I just went through their programs. And when I finished all their programs, they said, "You are now a Christian." And in the eyes of all those around me and of my peers, I was a Christian. When I was in school, I went to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was a Christian. I was a pre-resurrection Christian, if I was anything. If I was anything. I think if I was anything, I was probably delusional. And I was being deceived by the enemy of my soul. Because when God started trying to take me to the place where I could see what I really needed, there was roadblocks everywhere trying to keep me from getting to that little Assembly of God church where the power of God was moving. Oh my, I mean, every roadblock, every circumstance, just trying to keep me from even showing up to the building. Because the minute I stepped into that sanctuary, not even knowing the power of the Holy Ghost, there was something inside of me that said, "God's in this place." Didn't understand it. Pre-resurrection. Didn't have faith about it. Didn't really want it. Pre-resurrection. Oh, but that one Sunday morning, when I finally humbled my heart and just simply went and asked, still not understanding. I didn't understand it at all. I didn't. It was probably the most ridiculous prayer and unlearned prayer, but it was just simply the prayer of my heart. "Lord, I don't know what it is you're trying to show me or do. I really don't. I didn't understand it. At all." You see, it's not a matter of understanding. It's a matter of faith. Because my next words were, "Lord, whatever it is." See, I didn't put any stipulations on it of how it had to go. I said, "Lord, whatever it is, I want it." And that's when he gave it to me. That's when he gave it to me. All my sin. I saw it all. You couldn't put a number on it because it was a sinful nature. It wasn't the deeds that I had done. It was the nature that I was of. But when that all flashed before my eyes, my tears flowing, then it went the other direction. And the newness of life and the kingdom of God and who Jesus Christ was became real in my heart, in my mind, in my life. And now the tears turned from sorrow to joy, because now I knew that I had found the one I had heard about all my 23 years of life. I had met him. I knew him now. He had come into my life now. I was changed on the inside. I could not give you the terminology, but there ain't nobody could tell me I wasn't changed. I knew God had worked a work in me that I had never experienced in my entire life. Now I know what it is. I was born again by the Spirit of God. A year and a half later, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I began to study. I begin to seek his will. I begin to seek his face. I begin to grow into a post-resurrection life. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, and have put on the new man. He says, that's what I got now. That's what I got now is a new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You see, you got to study to show yourself approved. Once you get born again, it doesn't stop there. Once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't stop there. You've got to be renewed in knowledge after the image of Him. This is where teaching and training comes into place. Sanctifying of the life comes into place. Because Christ created him. The new man is that gift of God. That gift of salvation. A lot of times we don't bring that in. That new man is the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. It's not just the forgiveness of sins. It's a new man created by Christ. He breathed life. And he'll do it for you. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And when we sing that song, I never shall forget the day. Well, I haven't forgot that day. I mean, you know, my memory's not near as good as it used to be. But there ain't nobody can take that experience away from me when I met Jesus. When I met Jesus and he created that new creature inside of me, nobody can take that away from me. I will remember that for eternity. Because that's when my life began. I just started living. Got me a brand new life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, because Christ creates it there. The born-again experience is the creation of that new man. It's that regeneration. It's bringing me away from the sin nature and putting back into me the nature that Adam was created with, without sin. The nature of Christ, the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ. That's that new man. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Glory to our God. And I'm going to close. Somebody's coming to the piano. I want to emphasize, you have to make the decision yourself. It doesn't make any difference how long you've been in church. Now, the testimony of every believer is going to have that new creation time. A born-again time. If you can't go back to that place where a new creature was created inside of you, it has not happened yet. I want you to understand that. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. I can boast and brag a little bit. You know, man, I wasn't really a bad guy. My wife wouldn't have married me if I was a bad guy. Wasn't bad. I like to do good for folks, but, you know, I had moments when, you know, folks didn't do me good. I just returned the favor. But I didn't consider myself bad. It's not a matter whether you feel bad or not about yourself. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. Number one, God loves you. Number two, Christ showed that love by hanging on a cross between two thieves. That is the love of God on display. The shame, the rejection, the pain, the torment, and the giving of his life, laying down his life for you because he considers you a friend. God loves you. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. But what you got to understand is there is a new creature that he wants to create inside of you. Hallelujah. And until that transpires, you will always be in a pre-resurrection life. You'll have good intentions and fall. Good intentions and fall. Good intentions and fall. Good intentions and fall. That's pre-resurrection life. I mean, there's a lot of times when I was still in pre-resurrection life, I had good intentions and fell. Good intention. I mean, that is the story of pre-resurrection Christianity. There is no power thereof. So if you come to the reality here this morning that you're actually living pre-resurrection Christianity, you're operating off the knowledge that you was taught when you was a little kid. See, I mean, both my children have a testimony of when they were little children. you know, 6, 7 years old in a children's church service asking Jesus to come into their lives. Brother Lucas has the same testimony. A lot of times, children that were raised in church live a life of pre-resurrection. Because when they're little, they understand Jesus is real. I want him in my life. And a lot of times they do pretty good. No, sometimes they don't do good at all. I mean, that's why the scripture teaches us about training children and disciplining children and the rod of correction, because little children only live a pre-resurrected Christian life. That's why it's up to us parents to teach them the right ways. And God has instituted the rod for that. But each one of them, Jason, Lindsay, Lucas, somewhere in their teen years or preteen years, they had to have a new creature created inside of them. I think for Lucas, it was when he's 12. I'm not for sure about Jason, whether it was 17, 18, maybe. Yeah, so, you know, that made it rough on me in his teen years. Woo! He was living a pre-resurrection Christian life. I don't know if he really understands that. Maybe till today he may have. I don't know. Because it can be done. And it's not wrong. I want you to understand that. It's not wrong because your intentions are right. I mean, their intentions as children was right. And even though they were children, and this is why we have mercy and kindness towards children as they're growing and learning, and we're trying to teach them all we can about the Word of God, because at one point in time, they're going to meet their Maker. And I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about a regeneration, a new creature being created inside of them. I'm talking about that salvation experience. And each one of them will not forget when that took place. Just like I'll not forget when mine took place. My wife will not forget when hers took. Every believer that has post-resurrection Christianity going on has a point in time. That's why they wrote the song, "I Never Shall Forget the Day." Because when it happens, you'll never forget it. Because you know that's when you had newness of life come into you. Hallelujah. And from that point forward, you've got to grow and follow and live post-resurrection life. John 10 and 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture." Amen. That's what Jesus wants to do. That's what the newness of life is all about. He's wanting to bring that change to where we can go into this world, come back into the house of God, and we're not going to be changed by the world anymore, because we are hungering and thirsting after God. We are setting our affections on things above. We're wanting to be renewed in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that we can be conformed into the image of Christ. We want to grow in His grace and in His knowledge. We want to be just like Him. Hallelujah. This is post-resurrection life, post-resurrection Christianity. He says, "But the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. That's not talking about the materialistic gains of this world. It is talking about the spiritual life that Jesus Christ can bring into a human's life because of the resurrection. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, He can now bring newness of life into everyone that will believe. Remember what I said? I didn't understand it at all. It's not a matter. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to get it. You're not going to figure it out. It's not by works. It's by faith. You believe who He is. You believe what He did. And you believe He wants to bring it to you. See, my problem I believed who he was. I believed in what he did. But I didn't see my need. But that day, I saw my need. When I finally humbled my heart, and I knew God had been moving all over my life, all around my life, all in my life. You might think that's true. I was lost. But God was still moving. God was still helping. God was still strengthening. God was still working works all around me to show me. Get a hold of this. He did all that not because he was happy with my condition at all. He did all that so that I would call on him so he could do what he knew I needed in my life. And the moment I opened the door of my heart and said, whatever it is, that's a statement of faith. Because I didn't know. Couldn't understand it. Tried to figure it out. You got to realize, I spent months trying to figure all this out. I did. I'm just that kind of guy. I mean, I come up to a situation, I start analyzing it, looking at it, figuring it out, and know how to fix it. That's just me. That's just part of me. I just love to fix things. I just love to try to figure things out. And this whole time after I stepped into that church and I knew God was in that place, I spent the rest of my time when I went there astounded at what God was doing around me, astounded at what God was doing in me, and trying to figure out how I could make this happen, how I could fix this. Catch that. We got too many people around in this world thinking they're going to fix something. You can't fix a thing. Only Christ can fix it. It's called past sins are gone and newness of life begins. Hallelujah. And from that point forward, you don't even think about that stuff in the past. All you're thinking about is what I can do now to know him more. Oh, what I can do for his kingdom. I'm not fixing anybody. Brother Pepper's not fixed an individual that I've ever encountered. Oh, but Brother Pepper's done his utmost best to lead them to a man called Jesus. Because if there is ever a Mr. Fix-It, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Because no matter what it is, he can fix it. He can put my mind straight and my mind right to where it doesn't trouble me anymore. Because I realize that has nothing to do with my life. He has everything to do with my life. Hallelujah. And what I do with him and what I allow him to do in my life. Hallelujah. You stand with me this morning. Post-resurrection life is the greatest life you could ever live. Hallelujah. Oh, that old song, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. There's been troubles, there's been trials, there's been heartache, there's been hard times, there's been situations I didn't know how they were going to turn out, but God turned them out for good. You just can never go wrong if you want to follow Jesus. You know, if you just want to follow Jesus, you just can't go wrong following Jesus. It brings so much into your life. Bring so much into your life. Yeah, like I said, there's been trials. There's been tests. But through each one of them, I've become stronger. And I've seen his power. And I don't doubt him one bit. He is a mighty God. I have seen him do all kinds of miracles and healings. And, oh, God of heaven. Hallelujah. And he's still doing it today. And he's going to do it. Hallelujah, until the church is raptured out of here. Hallelujah, and I haven't heard the trumpet yet this morning or this afternoon. That means he's going to do it right here today for you. He's going to do it for me. Hallelujah, because, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we may have been living a post-resurrection life, but then we started making wrong decisions and lingering around the world and allowing the world to bring us into delusion, and we've kind of lost the power of the resurrected life. We can find it again That's what I was talking about when I began this message this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to get saved all over again this morning because it was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And I want to encounter Jesus Christ just like I did that day. Hallelujah. I want His reality. I want His power. I want His holiness. I want His righteousness. I just want everything about Him. And I want it fresh. I want it fresh in my life. Fresh in my soul. I want to walk in the power thereof. Glory. That's why He died. That's why He rose again. So that you and I could walk in the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands. Oh, Father in heaven, we praise You. If you're here this morning, hallelujah, and you just need a brand new touch of the reality of Jesus Christ, I want you to reach for Him right here, right now. Oh, yeah, just take that hand that you're lifting up, reach it unto Him, and just let Him know, oh, that you want to be near Him, that you want to be touched by Him. Hallelujah. Maybe you're coming to the reality, I've never really been born again. Lord, I want to be born again. I want that new creature created inside of me. I want the fullness of Your salvation. Oh, God, just let it be known right there. Hallelujah. As you're lifting your hand, lifting your voice. Hallelujah. Because He hears that cry. He hears that plea. He sees that desire. He sees that longing. Hallelujah. And He wants to fulfill it. Oh, more than we want it. Hallelujah. Sometimes. Oh, Father in heaven, just work Your miraculous works, Lord, right here this morning in Your house on Resurrection Sunday, Lord, as we celebrate this post-resurrection life, oh God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost.
I have waited for this moment to come, and I won't let it pass.
Hallelujah. Glory and honor and praise be given unto our God. We always open the altars at the close of our services. Hallelujah. These altars are open this morning. Let us find a place to praise our God, to offer up thanksgiving to our God. Hallelujah. Just to hear what the Spirit would say to our hearts, our minds, here this morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And changed me.